The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
And ESPN Plus. You can also check us out on Sirius XM Channel 80. George Sedano in for Max today on a wild free agency frenzy Monday in the NBA. Oh boy, we got a lot coming up, including why I'm going to tell you 10 teams. 10 teams, you heard that right. Could be NBA champions this upcoming season. We'll do that at the top of the next hour at 3 o'clock. Ramona Shelburne will give us the latest on NBA free agency, including a juicy nugget she has on Russell Westbrook. She's going to join us in 10 minutes. Dan Orlovsky will stop by at 3:10 Eastern, 12:10 Pacific, as we have to go around these NFL training camps, including Aaron Rodgers' comments as he returns to Green Bay. So a lot of stuff to dive into. And look, hit us up on the phones at 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all the guests that I just mentioned will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And there was some news yesterday about one Kawhi Leonard, and that he declined his player option with the Clippers. So he had a $36 million player option for next season. And according to Woj, the expectation is that he will renegotiate a new deal with the Clippers. And here's what he can get, Kawhi. He could potentially sign a four-year, $176 million deal. Or he could do like a one-and-one, maybe become a free agent next season. Because remember, he's dealing with an injury, a knee injury, that could put him in a situation where he may be back next year. He may not. We don't know that for sure. We're not 100% sure on what's going to happen with his future. So what does he do? Does he sign the extension? Does he go 1-1? So that way the following year, he can sign a five-year deal worth $235 million, which would be one of the richest contracts in NBA history. All that stuff is possible. But you know what also is got to be at least a little possible? Is that Kawhi is going to entertain other offers. And I know that some of that stuff has been reported. And there are two teams right off the top of my head that immediately I say, oh man, Kawhi on those teams? Yeah, this can make some sense. Allow me to explain. The first is the Dallas Mavericks. And you're saying, wait a second, he's going to go to the Dallas Mavericks as opposed to playing for the Clippers in his hometown of LA? And well, hear me out. Why wouldn't he? Luka Doncic is what, top five, top six player in the NBA, maybe top seven at the worst. He's only 22 years old. There are no questions about Luka Doncic finishing games, where, not me, because I have been an actual defender of Paul George, but there are plenty of people out there, as we all know, that like to have some fun at Paul George's expense, right? Hashtag pandemic P, this, that, and the other. I thought Paul George, at least to me, made all those people shut up this past offseason, despite the fact not getting to the NBA Finals. But he did help the Clippers, even without Kawhi, reach a threshold they had never reached before, which was the Western Conference Finals. But let's be real here. If you had your druthers, would you want to play with Luka, or would you want to play with Paul George? Now, Paul George may be the more complete player, because he's a much better defender than Luka Doncic. But again, Luka's only 22, and he's already masterful on the offensive end. And Kawhi understands the Texas lifestyle. He's lived in San Antonio. It's not like it'd be something completely foreign to him. And Mark Cuban is a hell of an owner. So, just for a second, the Dallas Mavericks. But here's the cons to the Dallas Mavericks. I gave you the pros a second ago, but the cons would be this. You're still in the Western Conference. In a conference where, I don't know, there's easily six or seven teams that are going to be vying for, you know, the top three or four seeds. Maybe more. So it's still a bit of a grind in the Western Conference. Now, I'm going to give you one more team that I think makes sense for Kawhi. And it's a team that plenty of people have reported, including Woj, in the past that, hey, you know, this team would be interested in Kawhi. And that's the Miami Heat. Now, before you freak out and you say, why would he go to Miami? They just got swept in the first round of the NBA playoffs. They're not that good. Well, let's start here. Jimmy Butler was the guy that Kawhi identified as his preference to team up with in Los Angeles. It wasn't Paul George first. It was Jimmy Butler. And where's Jimmy Butler? Oh, yeah, he's in Miami. This team is two seasons removed from being in the NBA Finals. They've got a young ascending player in Bam Adebayo at 23 years old. And, oh, yeah, they seem to be the front runner to sign Kyle Lowry. If I had to guess, Kyle Lowry is going to be a member of the Miami Heat come 6:01 Eastern, 3:01 Pacific. That's just my guess. So, Kawhi would be able to play with the guy in Jimmy Butler that he wanted to play with the Clippers originally. He would reunite, potentially, with a guy he already won a championship with in Kyle Lowry, and they would have an ascending player in Bam Adebayo, plus Eric Spoelstra, one of the best coaches in the NBA, Pat Riley, the godfather, it's Miami. They go big or they go home, right? That's kind of their deal. So, while I do think it is very likely that he re-signs with the Clippers because they can pay him the most money, all that stuff, is it really the best path for him to try to win a championship? Because I would make the case that whether it's the Dallas Mavericks or certainly the Miami Heat, because you're playing in the Eastern Conference, where while it's better than it's been in years past, it's certainly not the slugfest the Western Conference is. I think you can make the case. I'm not saying that he's going there. If I had to put a percentage on it, it's like 90-something percent. 90%. Let's just say 90. Make a nice round number for you. 90% that Kawhi stays with the Clippers. But if he's willing to entertain offers and test free agency, that means there has to be some inclination to know what's out there beyond the Clippers, right? And who wouldn't do that? If you were in that situation, okay, if you, let's say you're a lawyer and you work at a firm and you're like, hey, man, I love this firm. This is my hometown firm. But a firm somewhere else comes a calling and says, hey, we got a better chance for you to climb the ladder. We're going to pay you more money. I know that Miami can't or Dallas or Miami can't pay them more money, but we're just trying to make it, give it a real life kind of example. But if you had a better opportunity to succeed at another firm, you'd go. Let's say you run a grocery store and the competitive grocery store comes to you and says, hey, I know you're the manager of grocery store A, but we want to give you a chance to take us to the promised land and do what you did over there, over here. We're the competitor. And we'll give you a bigger title. We'll give you more opportunity to be able to do whatever it is you want to do, what you want to implement. Of course you'd do that. Anybody could relate to options. Anyone would relate to being able to listen at the very least. It doesn't mean you're going to leave your job, but if you got other offers, you might as well entertain them. So I think that's what Kawhi's doing. And it's smart. Now, speaking of Los Angeles, you've got the Lakers situation. And we're going to talk to Ramona here in a minute or two. And I am very curious as to how this thing is going to fit. Because, well, I trust LeBron James implicitly. Like, I look at LeBron and I say to myself, if LeBron's healthy, man, he can do whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is not a situation that I don't think he can survive in, and not only survive, but thrive in. So whether Russell Westbrook is the perfect fit or not, I mean, look, I don't think there's much of an argument that he's not necessarily the perfect fit. But here's the problem with the Lakers. When LeBron was on the floor last year, they were the second best offense in the NBA. When LeBron was off the floor last year, they were the 28th best offense in the NBA. You know what Russell Westbrook still does really well? Score. You know what Russell Westbrook really does really well too? He's intense. He doesn't take a playoff. And, you know, on a roster over 82 games, there's going to be days where even stars need a little extra motivation, need somebody in their corner kind of just poking and prodding them. And LeBron doesn't want to have to be the bad guy all the time and have to motivate his teammates constantly. It's why the relationship with Rondo worked so well a couple of years ago. And as far as on the floor, I'll say this. Just remember that LeBron played with a guy similar, not exactly apples to apples, similar to Russell Westbrook and Dwayne Wade. Not a great three-point shooter, relentless at finishing at the rim. And he was able to make that work. They also have David Fizdale on this roster now as an assistant coach, who, by the way, if you remember, was an assistant coach with LeBron and the Miami Heat on Eric Spoelstra's staff. So I think they can perhaps take something away from that playbook to help LeBron and Russ mesh a little better on offense. Better than people may be giving them credit for. But let's talk to Ramona Shelburne about this, ESPN NBA insider, friend of the program. So, Momo, I know you have a story that dropped today on ESPN.com and on the ESPN app, and people can see it, about Russell Westbrook and his journey potentially coming back to L.A. I want to get to that in a second, but I don't know if you heard me talking about just the potential fit between Russ and LeBron. How do you see it?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the phrase I keep hearing and the sort of logic I keep hearing is Buddy Hield. They were very close on the trade for Buddy Hield. You know, close in a theoretical sense in that the trade couldn't happen until Montrezl Harrell picked up his player option, right? So anything you discussed, it was not, you couldn't do it literally until he picked up his option, and that hadn't happened on the morning of the draft. So, but when that, you know, they were having those discussions, like Buddy Hield seemed like a great fit. Good shooter, young guy, fits the Anthony Davis timeline a little bit. But Buddy Hield, in a way, I think the Lakers, and when they got down to it, it came to Buddy Hield would be a great regular season fit. But when they get to those 16 playoff games that you got to win a title, kind of have to err on the side of the future Hall of Famer, right? They kind of have to err on the side of, like, Russ is a former MVP. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's been to the finals before. He's proven at the highest level. And I think you know, Russ and LeBron and Anthony Davis had a little sit down a couple weeks before, but really Russ and LeBron had been talking for weeks about this. Like, Russ was sort of having simultaneous conversations with Bradley Beal and LeBron about his potential future and in either Washington or in LA. And I think what people don't get, George, is, like, if you know Russ and you know LeBron, like, I have these visions of the Top Gun beach volleyball scene.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, like, they're so competitive. They're both so, like, they're going to be beating each other in the gym every day. They're going to be, they push each other really hard. I mean, we all see LeBron's workout videos. You post them on Instagram all the time. He's always up at, like, 5 in the morning, you know, getting his work in. And then he's singing along to something, you know, and he's in the gym. And I'm like, I'm not even awake yet. And this guy's already, like, busted out, you know, a 2-hour core strength workout in the gym. I mean, that's LeBron. And Russ is even more than that,
right?
So I just think, like, for two guys in their, well, Russ 32, LeBron 36, but two guys in their 30s who are just, LeBron trying to chase Jordan, Russ is trying to get that first ring. I think it's a really nice fit, and maybe even the best beneficiary of this is Anthony Davis, who now has, like, two older brother types who are going to be pushing him extremely hard during the year. So I just think, like, from a culture standpoint, I actually really like the fit. Stylistically, that's where things get interesting because, as we know, Russ is not a great shooter. Russ is used to having the ball in his hands, but
you know what? LeBron played with Dwayne Wade, right? Who's not a great shooter either, and they have David Fizdale on this staff. Like, they can pull from that playbook and perhaps make that work better.
And also, LeBron, he went through that. So the first year and a half in Miami, Dwayne and LeBron were sort of like, okay, trading off. Like, they almost had to stagger their minutes sometimes. It was like, okay, I'll be the playmaker, then you'll be the playmaker, then I'll be the playmaker. And that didn't work. And eventually, after they lost in that finals the first year, Dwayne came to LeBron and said, you got to be the guy, and I got to learn how to play off the ball. I think the challenge for Westbrook is that, can he learn how to play off the ball? because he can be deadly off the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I can envision all sorts of, like, Westbrook cutting to the basket off of pin downs on the weak side. I mean, there's so many options for Westbrook to get stuff the way that we thought it was going to work with Harden. But when they were in Houston together, they never really had anybody like Anthony Davis. I mean, Clint Capela is a nice player, but he's not Anthony Davis. So I'm really interested in this. I hope they get some shooting because otherwise there will be no room in the paint. But other than that, I you know, you and I are here for the content, right? I mean, it's going to be great.
Let's go. Yeah. Give me the theater of it all. Ramona Shelburne with us here, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. She joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right. So Russ is in L.A., but you have a great story that dropped today on ESPN.com and the ESPN app about how Russ has been trying to get back to L.A. for several years, including pitching Kawhi on the idea of being his second guy.
Okay, so, George, you know how sometimes when you have an incredible story, like you end up writing, like you can only get parts of it a little bit at a time. So a version of Kawhi recruiting Paul to come with him, three or four separate times at this point, right? Because it was such a giant trade. It was such a giant boss power play move when Kawhi made that a couple of years, summers ago. And it was like, at the time, I knew that Kawhi had reached out to Kevin Durant before he came to LA. And then I also knew he reached out to Paul George. And we kind of put that together right away. And then later, we kind of got more of the Paul George side of things, which is how he got looped into this, where Kawhi basically just called him and it got him started thinking. But I had always heard that there was something before that that precipitated the whole domino effect. And, you know, as a reporter, like, you hear stuff, but you can't confirm it. And finally, in reporting out this Westbrook trade, I finally was able to confirm that initially the whole domino set of events started when Russell Westbrook, in the summer of 2019, was looking at the Kawhi situation. And Russ is from Los Angeles. He had just become a father of three, right? He just had twin girls in November. His family's all here. So, like, he loved Oklahoma City. He loved being there with Paul. But if there was a chance to come back to L.A. in that form or fashion, at least make the call, right? Make the call, see what can be worked out. He calls Kawhi. And instead of Kawhi kind of going, oh, you know, okay, that's interesting, what I think. Like, Kawhi wasn't really interested in playing with Russ, but he then calls Paul George and says, hey, guess who I just got a call from? I'd rather play with you. So if you don't want to get left behind, this is probably your best option here. And it was, I mean, it's a boss move. It's a boss move, but wow. Okay, because now we look at all the dominoes that happened where Russ has now had to go through three separate trades in 2 years. The trade from Oklahoma City to Houston, the trade from Houston to Washington, and now the trade from Washington to L.A. That's a lot of trades. And it's kind of amazing when you cover this league to see a player of that caliber involved in three separate trades of that magnitude and have – I don't know, does anybody hate Russ? I think he's left town on good terms everywhere. I mean, he and his agent have done a pretty good job in terms of when they leave town, they send press releases afterwards and saying how great they were. So, it's worked out okay. But the last couple of years of Russ's career have been kind of upended by literally just calling a guy from L.A. saying, what do you think? They kind of turned around on him.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. And, of course, check out Ramona's story on ESPN.com and the ESPN app. On Kawhi, look, I think, you know, Woj has reported this, and he's talked about how, you know, he opted out. The likelihood is he re-signs the Clippers. But there are reports that he will entertain other offers. Now, it's been thrown out there before, including by Woj, that Miami would clearly have interest in him. We know that Jimmy Butler was one of the guys he considered as his running mate with the Clippers.
Yep.
What is the likelihood, and we have about a minute here, so what is the likelihood of Kawhi staying with the Clippers, and if he is going to entertain other offers, who do you think he visits with?
I think he stays with the Clippers. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of drama here. I think he stays with the Clippers. Maybe he takes a couple days because he's Kawhi and he always takes a couple days. I think maybe he'll talk to Dallas, talk to Miami, talk to some teams that have cap space and actually a good program. You know how much he admires Luka Doncic. So I think those are teams that he might talk to, but I just don't see a lot of drama in terms of him leaving because none of those teams have the ability, cap space-wise, to make him that kind of offer. I'm very curious to see what happens with the Clippers today because I know they've been aggressive in trying to make trades and trying to compete this year, knowing that Kawhi is likely going to be out for most of this year, if not all of it. And also with the Lakers, because, you know, we talked about their big three, but who else do they have? Alex Caruso, Talen Horton-Tucker, both free agents. Dennis Schroeder, also a free agent. And, George, I hate to say this because I know there's a lot of Laker fans who listen out here, but I just want to sound the alarm. Like, you may need to prepare yourself to lose Alex Caruso today.
What? The Caruso?
I know. I know. I'm sorry. I hate to – just prepare yourself.
All right.
The sense I have is that he's probably going elsewhere. It's an expensive roster to keep all together, and the Lakers have some other options. He has two or three options at or above the mid-level, and I don't know if L.A. can get there and also keep Talen Horton-Tucker. So I know how big a deal that is here in L.A.
They love him. They love Alex Caruso. He works hard. He plays hard, no doubt. Ramona Shelburne, check out that story on ESPN.com and the ESPN app. Momo, you are the best. Thank you so much for hanging out. Appreciate it.
Thanks, George.
All right, take care. There she is, Ramona Shelburne with us here. It's the Max Kellerman Show. George Sedano in for Max here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com today. Hey, coming up next, LeBron, KD, Giannis. Who is the face of the NBA? Well, one of those players isn't even interested in being the face. So we'll get to that coming up in just a second here on the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. But first, what if you could put the same type of rigor that pro leagues use for players into your hiring process? Well, you can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. It's very simple. And you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman, K-E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. All right, who's the face of the NBA and one superstar who doesn't even want to be in the conversation? That's next. George Sedano in for Max here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus rolls on. You can make sure to check us out on Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. George Sedano in for Max. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Rod, did you like that I hit the post there in the song? Or no?
That was impressive. What, you got some DJ skills, some music, you know, jockey stuff back in the background?
In my past life, I believe I was perhaps an FM radio jock where I could hit the post. I just knew the music, could feel it, and hit the post before the lyrics start. So
you can't teach that. You can't teach that. You're born with it. You know
that is a skill.
Got it or not?
I would agree. That is a skill. Don't forget, we will play No Doubt at 3:30 Eastern.
No Doubt.
So about an hour or so from now, the game that Raj loves to play to make us look like fools, basically. That's how it works. Hey, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks to Ramona Shelburne, who joined us previously in the last segment on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So sticking with the NBA, and by the way, if anything breaks during the show, we will get it to you. There is no question about it. We will break it down every which way to Sunday. And there could be news trickling out here during the show. I'm also going to be in for Max tomorrow, so we'll be able to break down all the news that happens today, that goes down today. And, of course, the trade deadline special is all going down today on ESPN. Make sure you check out The Jump. I'm sure Ramona will be on there. Woj, Zach Lowe, obviously hosted by Rachel. So a lot of people will be on there giving their input on what transpires today in the NBA. We do have some NFL stuff to get into as well, but let me stick with the NBA here. So I teased earlier that whether you got LeBron or whether you got Kevin Durant or whether you got Giannis, who is the now finals MVP and NBA champion, now that he's got the trophy, he's talking. And now I don't know, Raj, if this is something he would be okay saying here. I'm sure he would be because, you know, Giannis is pretty straightforward. He doesn't mince words, as we saw in his post game after the fact. But here's what happens is guys go back home overseas and they say stuff and they forget that we got Google Translate. Okay. and that we can figure out what they're saying in another language. So Giannis said some stuff. Basically, when speaking to the media in Athens, he said his goal isn't to hold the league's billboard crown. I don't care about being the face of the NBA. Kevin Durant or James Harden can be, Antetokounmpo said, according to the translation of his press conference back in Greece after propelling the Bucks to a win in the NBA Finals. Here's what he said, quote, I want to be with my kids, my family. I want to win and enjoy the game. I don't care about being the face of the NBA. Kevin Durant or James Harden can be. I want to be with my kids and my family. That's it. And be a Giannis the hard worker, is what he said. So, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, to be frank with you. And look, if we look at the numbers, and we have raw data for this stuff, it's called ratings. When Giannis is on television, the ratings are okay. But when Kevin Durant or LeBron are on television, and even James Harden to some extent, and certainly Steph Curry is in that mix, they're big. They're larger. Even Zion, by the way, on a team that isn't even that good yet, gets big numbers when he's on television. Giannis has just never been that kind of draw. Now, the fact that he is so self-aware about that stuff, to me, is endearing. And the fact that he doesn't care is also, if you're a Bucks fan or even just a general sports fan, it's probably where you want his head at anyway. You want your guy to be a hard worker, be the best player he can be, work on his game, and win. All the other stuff, all the sideshow stuff, the accolades, that stuff will come. And if it doesn't, so be it. I have been more into Giannis over the last couple of weeks since he won the championship because he's always kind of been like this, right? He's been less guarded, I would say, than most of the other stars. And that in itself is already a challenge because he's already talking to you in his second language, which is unbelievably difficult. And I know this because, you know, I'm Cuban, I'm Hispanic. I know plenty of people who try to speak in their second language, and it isn't always easy. But the fact that he doesn't mince words, and he knows what's up, and he knows who he is, and what matters to him, that's all we should care about. We do this thing in sports where we try to just make everyone else a carbon copy of the guy before him. Why isn't such and such more like Kobe? Why isn't such and such more like Michael Jordan? Who cares? Let Giannis be Giannis. Let LeBron be LeBron. Let KD be KD. Let Steph be Steph. That's it. And I think that's really the message that I took away from Giannis' statement in Greece. And if you're Milwaukee, who cares? What do you care? If he's winning more championships, which I think he could, that's all that matters to you. Plus, let's face it. Basketball season's over. And they did win one for the first time in 50 years there. But you know where everybody's got their attention to in that region of the country. And by the way, all over the country in general, because the NFL is king, is Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So Aaron was in camp, and for those questioning whether he would waver on his interest in being the best he could be this particular season after all the offseason drama, here's what Aaron said this weekend.
How good is it to walk back on this field and just be back out here with your brothers?
I mean, it's the best feeling. It was a little strange, I think, day one, just because I was gone for the entire offseason and contemplated my own future and the possibility of playing somewhere else as well. But when I'm back here, I'm 100% all in, you know. And you know me, you know what I'm all about. I love my teammates. I love competing. I do love practice. You know, I love to go out and give it to the young corner when I can and get after these guys, talk a little smack, especially with a new D coordinator in here. We got to let them know how it goes around here. You know, it's good to be back, man.
Yeah. And it's good to have him back. Now, we can speculate where he's going to be after this season on the other side, or maybe even another day. But I do want to react to Aaron. We'll get into that a little bit, because I think that anyone that would question him and his commitment to trying to win this particular season is a fool. And by the way, that sound is courtesy of our friends at the NFL Network. So let's get to that on the other side. Plus, The Rams players are real excited because they have a real quarterback in town. We'll tell you what some of the players are saying at Rams camp with Sean McVay's team in just a moment. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Capital One Auto Navigator, where you can find a car, get pre-qualified instantly, and see your real monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator. And by the way, before we get to the NFL, DoorDash is here, the summer pass of DoorDash. Right now, DoorDash Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free from DoorDash and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass. It's in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. All right, we'll respond to Aaron. We'll get into why the Rams are feeling good about their Super Bowl chances. Coming up next, it's George Sedano in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Whether on your radio, on your phone, or your smart speaker.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
If Cam stinks up the joint with these dudes that they went out and got, and the New England Patriots are not competitive within their division, they need to cut him during the middle of the year.
Wake up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch them on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show continues on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus and Sirius XM Channel 80. Don't forget the ESPN app. George Sedano in for Max. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? Or any day, for that matter. You missed Ramona Shelburne a little earlier talking about NBA free agency. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. So we were talking about Aaron Rodgers returning to Packers camp in the last segment. And I want to replay that audio because, to me, anyone who would question Aaron Rodgers' commitment to the team this season, I don't even understand why you would do that. I mean, you're basically conflating issues. He didn't want to play for them, but there was an agreement and some concessions were made. And now, between the white lines, he's ready to roll. Folks, you can compartmentalize that stuff. But he was on after practice. NFL Network asked him some questions. And he made sure to let people know he's 100% in.
How good is it to walk back on this field and just be back out here with your brothers?
I mean, it's the best feeling. It was a little strange, I think, day one, just because I was gone for the entire offseason and contemplated my own future and the possibility of playing somewhere else as well. But when I'm back here, I'm 100% all in, you know. And you know me, you know what I'm all about. I love my teammates. I love competing. I do love practice. You know, I love to go out and give it to the young corner when I can and get after these guys, talk a little smack, especially with a new D coordinator in here. We got to let them know how it goes around here. You know, it's good to be back, man.
Yeah. Does that guy sound like he's not all in? Does that guy not sound like he's still Aaron Rodgers? Aaron bleeping Rodgers? Of course he is. The Packers are going to be just fine. Now, look, what's going to happen beyond this season? We'll see. I still will contend that the Packers made a big mistake by not dealing him when they had the chance. When he still had, in theory at that time, 2 more years left on his deal. And I guess the opportunity to leverage another team to get more assets. I think that now you're not going to get the same return that you once had. That's just my personal opinion. However, when they hit the field, the Packers are still going to be one of the best teams in the NFL because you know what? They have Aaron Rodgers. And they have a good team around him, but they have Aaron Rodgers. And that's the most important thing. That position is the most important position for a reason. So when you got a guy that's good, let alone special like Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be fine. Speaking of good quarterbacks, I was seeing a story about the Rams, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was the biggest Jared Goff fan. I think Jared Goff's a good player. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I certainly don't think he's a special quarterback. Now, Matthew Stafford comes in. I think Matthew Stafford is a great quarterback. I just think he's played on one of the worst franchises. Forget about just in the NFL. Perhaps in sports in the Detroit Lions. If you were doing a list of the worst franchises in all of sports, the Lions would absolutely be in your top five. I don't care what you're a fan of. They've been atrocious, for God's sake. There's only so much one guy can do. So Leonard Floyd, who's one of the star linebackers for the Rams, was sitting there saying the other day after practice, like, yo, this defense, which, by the way, the Rams defense was incredible. They were either one or two in pretty much every statistical category you can measure last season. It's going to be great again this season, one would assume. Said, he's making us better on defense. So, yes, I know the Rams lost Cam Akers. And I think Cam Akers is a really impressive young running back. It's unfortunate what happened to him with the Achilles. And, of course, it happened, you know, while he was training. But the one fortunate news, and this goes for any team, really, as much as I love Cam Akers, and I think Cam Akers got a little bit of the short end of the stick in college, he went to Florida State in the one era where they've been down. You know, I mean, this kid was the number one running back out of high school a number of years ago. But running back is the most interchangeable position in the sport. So whether it's Darrell Henderson or they add a guy that gets cut from a different camp or whatnot, they've got guys that can fill that void. And I actually think Henderson has the ability. I know Sean McVay alluded to it earlier this week as well, that he can be a three-down back. And he has got some speed, that dude. But the key is to keep him fresh. They want to mix up the running back position, and that's what everybody's doing now. Look, if you play fantasy football, I know Raj does, you know that that running back position, that's a tough position to draft these days because everybody's thrown out two and three guys. So the Rams will be no different. It'll be running back by committee. All right, coming up next, we'll ask Dan Orlovsky about everything going on around these camps. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.